Welcome to the Revitalize Woman podcast with Dr. Brenda Heineke, where we bring health and wellness professionals together to talk about all aspects of women's health, from pregnancy to menopause and everything in between. Thanks for joining me today on another episode of the Revitalize Woman podcast. My guest today is Tracy Joint, who is the owner of Fit for Mom for the Milwaukee area. If you aren't familiar with Fit for Mom, they provide pre- and postnatal fitness in a group setting. The best thing about it is that you can bring your little ones with you. In this episode, we talk more about how to incorporate activity into your life after baby, how to modify exercises based on any issues you're having, and the importance of finding community. Speaking of community, make sure you head on over to our exclusive Facebook community called The Revitalized Woman and join us. We share more insider advice of common issues that women go through during different stages of their life. It's also a great place for support if you're dealing with any of those issues. So don't forget to check that out and join our group. All right, without further ado, here's my interview with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey.
Thank you so much for coming in today and talking.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm super excited to hear all about Fit for Mom. But could you kind of tell everyone a little bit about your background and how you got started?
Yeah. So fitness has always been a passion of mine ever since I trained and completed my first marathon. So back in, right out of college, you know, college wasn't a time where I was like focusing on my health or my fitness.
Okay.
But right out of college, I just felt like I needed to do something. Like I was a little bit overweight and just felt like I needed to do something. So I decided to sign up for my first race and I decided I need to go big and I chose to do a full marathon.
Go big or go home.
Yeah. And I don't know, I just fell in love with the process of getting fit and, you know, making healthy habits and getting into shape and losing weight. I just fell in love with that whole process, and knew that, you know, fitness just needed to be a part of my life, but I wasn't really sure how at that point.
Okay.
And so when I became a first-time mom, my transition into motherhood was really hard. You know, it's crazy how isolating bringing a human into this world can feel.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, I was on maternity leave. I didn't have a lot of friends that had babies. My first son was a very challenging baby. And yeah, I was just, it was lonely and I suffered from postpartum anxiety and I was just overwhelmed and unsure and everything self-care just got put on the back burner, including like my fitness, which is like the thing that was made me like sane, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I went back out of my maternity leave. I went back to work in my sales and marketing job, and I was just miserable. You know, I would work, I'd come home, I'd have an hour to spend with my kid, and I wasn't doing anything for myself, and it was just affecting so many other elements in my life.
Yeah.
So at 3:30 in the morning one night when I'm like trying to console, you know, a screaming baby, I'm Google searching like, what else can I do? Like, this cannot be it for me.
Yeah.
And I came across the concept of Fit for Mom. They're a franchise located out in San Diego. That's where their headquartered is.
Okay.
And the closest one at the time was in Chicago.
Okay.
And I just fell in love with the concept. Like, connecting with other moms, which is what I was lacking, and eliminating that guilt, because mom guilt is a real thing.
Yeah.
And eliminating that guilt, but being able to like do something for yourself. Like, I just fell in love with it. So the next day I went into my job and I quit, having no idea like whether Fit for Mom, like what the process was to become a franchise owner or if I was going to get approved or anything. So it was a pretty big like leap of faith.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, 4.5 years later, here we are. It's the best decision. It's been great. It's given me such a different balance, a better balance. It's connected me with some of the best moms that I could have ever asked for that have gotten me through some really difficult mom times. And it's just been such a great thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I know. It is so hard, I feel like, for new moms that especially our, like, used to being very active. It is really tough. I struggled with that with my first one a ton. Mm-hmm. Because you're like, well, I can't really exercise right now. Right. So, you know, what do you do for yourself?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's a tough time.
Yeah, it is.
So you mentioned that Fit for Mom is a franchise. So what type of, like, classes, what do you guys specialize in? Because I know some people listening might not be super familiar with it.
Yep. So we have several different class formats. I think our biggest niche, though, is you get to bring your kiddos with you to our stroller classes. So like I said before, you don't have to worry about trying to find someone to watch your kid when you go work out or drop them off at a daycare, which a mom might not be comfortable with doing. You eliminate that mom guilt and you bring your kid with you, and they're in the stroller and we're kind of doing some activities to entertain the kids while the moms are getting their workout in. But we have several different class formats. I mean, we have classes that focus on cardio. We have classes that focus on strength. We have more like restorative and yoga classes.
Okay.
We do have some high intensity whenever your body is, you know, honor your body and when your body is ready for that point. But yeah, and it's really about the community and working out with like-minded moms. Because, you know, there's a lot of insecurities after you become a mom.
Yeah, definitely.
That, you know, we address in Fit for Mom because we shouldn't be ashamed to talk about the fact that we might be peeing our pants when we're doing a jumping jack. Like, we shouldn't be ashamed to talk about that.
Right.
Like, let's be open about it. And you're comfortable when you're with around other moms.
Yeah.
As opposed to going somewhere else where you might be with some dads and, like, you know, it's just so, it's being with like-minded moms in the community of moms that understand what you're mentally and physically and emotionally going through as a mom.
Yeah, and I think that's important to point out too, because, like, there's so much pressure, I feel like, nowadays. Like, you have a kid and then right away you're like, oh, I have to get back in shape. And there's, like, this pressure to lose the baby weight so much or so quickly. And not that, like, that's a bad thing, but it's a lot of added pressure that's maybe not necessary.
Totally.
And so when you can be in a group of other moms, like, going through those same struggles versus, like, I don't know, you go to the gym and you're, like, working out next to, like, a 20-year-old that's never had kids.
Exactly.
And, like, 10% body fat. And you're like, well, this doesn't make
you're
me feel great about myself.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
So having other people going through the same struggles is huge. Definitely. So just the stroller classes. Because you have, like, I know Body Back is one that I know fairly well that you guys offer. So the stroller strides.
Yep.
Those are the ones that you can kind of bring the kids along with you.
Yep. Stroller strides and stroller bar are two. And Strides 360 is actually one too, where it's kind of split down the middle. You can bring your kids. You don't have to bring your kids. We focus more on the moms in our Strides 360 as opposed to our stroller bar class and our stroller strides class. We try to do some fun activities to keep the kids entertained.
Gotcha.
But yeah, those are our three stroller classes, our Strides 360, our stroller bar, and our stroller strides class.
Okay. And I'm sure you probably get this question a lot, but,
you
know, how do you handle kids that do not want to sit in the stroller anymore, or they've had it? Like, how does that impact class?
So, every day is so different. there are days where the kids are all well-behaved and getting along and happy as can be. And then there are days where you will look at every single kid and they are just having a meltdown. And, you know, what's so great about it is other moms get involved to try to help out. The instructor gets involved to try to help out. We offer snacks. We sing a song. But what's so great about it is, like, going back to the community of moms, like, everyone gets it. Nobody cares. It's not disrupting really anyone. Like, you know, when you're out at, you always take it more personally when your kid is acting out than other people do.
Sure.
So it's just, like, giving those gentle reminders, like, no one's caring that your kid is screaming right now, you know? And we'll help out as much as possible. Like, if the kid needs to be picked up, if the kids need rocked, like, if you need to nurse and you need to stop and nurse, like, it is so casual and all the moms are there to just help you. And so it's really not something that anyone should be worried about.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. It's something we do here a lot with our clients. Like, a lot of our clients bring their little ones with them too. You know, they don't have another option. Yeah. And it's pretty hard to line up childcare for, you know, X number of sessions or something. And so we really try to kind of work around that the best we can. But I found it really interesting. I had heard from a public floor PT elsewhere in the country that she was so upset or worked up because new mom brought her baby and the baby was like crying during their session, and this PT was like, I can't work like this. Like, I can't work with, you know, a patient when their baby's crying. And I just thought, like, are you serious? Yeah. This is what population you're working with. Like, you need to. It is so hard. Yeah. I think for both of us, like, for moms to find the time to either A, like, come to physical therapy for an issue, or B, exercise, or both. You know, whatever. It is so hard to find that time to prioritize. Being able to bring your kid with you makes it that much easier. And so we should be trying to, like, encourage that as much as possible and foster it versus, like, being making so upset and making it so difficult. Yes. Like, that's just not helpful. So I think it's great what you guys do. And you guys have such a great, like, community of women, too. And, you know, I think that really adds to what you do. I mean, it's not just – you're not just coming for an exercise class. Like, you are coming because you get to know the other moms. And
yes. Like, this might be the 1 hour of the day where a mom sees another adult, another mom, and is able to chat with them.
Yeah.
You know, that might be their only time of the day, and they need that.
Yes.
So it really is. Like, there are moms that come because they need the physical workout, and then there's moms that come because they just need, like, the social aspect of it.
For sure.
And, like, we honor whatever brings you to us. Like, we honor that. This is your hour, and if it's to sit and drink coffee, and that's fine. It's fine. We're gonna be over here doing some squats, you know. So
kind of sounds like a nice exercise class. Yeah. I'll just come drink my coffee. Yeah. Just kidding. Sort of.
But no, it's great.
And you guys also try to do stuff, like, outside of class as well.
We do. So we have, you know, every couple of weeks we'll do some play dates where, like, we call them stay and play. So we'll do some sort of, like, craft. We'll stay after class and do some sort of craft. I think this Friday we have an apple, like, tissue paper making apple craft. But we try to do that, you know, just to keep the moms after class and, you know, connect, making them connect a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then we try to do monthly moms nights out. Now, those are my favorite.
Nice.
We have a lot of fun. Yeah. We get the moms together and we do a whole variety of different things, but we do have fun outside of working out.
It's fun.
Yes.
Adds to it. Because, like you said before, it's so isolating to, you know, have children, and sometimes it's, you know, trying to find those other moms that you connect with, because you might not have it elsewhere too.
Yes, absolutely. Moms need to get away, and, like, I mean, mom guilt, like I said before, it's a real thing, but, like, it's important to step away from your kids and your hubby and just get away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're probably all guilty of that to some degree.
Absolutely.
Because it's so easy to not prioritize that.
Yes.
And do everything else.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to talk, like, just in general, because you're kind of in this space with, what do you feel like is kind of, like, one of the biggest myths within fitness for these women?
I think that working out, people are very cautious about working out after baby. And I think that if they have some sort of issue, they feel like they can't work out at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or if this is the first time they've been working out since maybe they got pregnant, or maybe even before that, that they're not going to be able to keep up.
Sure.
Or, like, all those things. They're not going to be fit enough. And I guess knowing that everyone comes to us at all different levels, all different mom issues. I mean, sure. We've dealt with it all, and we can give you, we can meet you where you're at. We sure. can give you any sort of modification that you need. Maybe just for that day, you're just power walking, and maybe that's what you do for that day. And like, we'll meet you where you're at, but it's better to make movement than to not make movement. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's yeah. better to just get up and do something than to not do anything.
Sure.
So let us help you do something.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because there's so much variety in terms of where people are physically.
Yes.
Even, I mean, mentally and emotionally, that's going to impact it. So, I was going to ask you, you know, with that, because knowing that, you know, what do you guys do to help, I guess, control that or like almost make sure, like, how do you know that you're giving them like appropriate exercises, if you will, because so many are coming in at different stages, mm-hmm. like when they first come to you, like their first class. Do you do any kind of assessment? Do you talk to them beforehand? I mean,
Yeah. So we'll ask everyone that comes in, just kind of give us a little bit of background of your fitness level. Mm-hmm. And that gives us a good idea. If they're like, this is the first time I've been back since I got pregnant. Okay, well, you're starting pretty beginner.
Yeah.
And I think even like anything before that is going to be pretty beginner. Mm-hmm. We usually ask everyone if they have DR, diastasis recti. I would say 50% know whether they have it or not, and 50% just like have no clue.
Sure.
So we'll test them for that.
Okay.
And usually, you know, with like 6 weeks back to about, I don't know, I would say 3 or 4 months, like we want to kind of, whether you have DR or not, like we kind of want to ease you into core work.
Yeah.
So we'll give you modifications. And we'll just kind of watch you and like make sure that you're listening to your body. Like if something feels wrong, you got to let us know, mm-hmm. and we'll give you modifications. So it's really like making sure that they're listening to their body as they're exercising and let us know like what feels funny, what's bringing you pain. And yeah. then we can kind of help make modifications for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely a big piece of it because I feel like so many people, like you get in an exercise class and I mean, it's difficult as an instructor to really, I mean, you can't possibly give every single person your undivided attention the entire class. It's just not possible.
Right.
So I think it's really important that women know, like, they need to be self-aware with that.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if it's not working, like, you have to say something or ask because you can't possibly have right. that, like, undivided, individualized attention.
Yeah.
Like just doesn't happen in an exercise
yeah.
class. So.
Yeah. And I think like just letting them know not to feel uncomfortable by raising your hand to give a modification.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this, just being in like a similar space with postpartum women.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, one of the things that we do a lot, like any of our clients that come in with like a diastasis or mm-hmm. a prolapse, mm-hmm. they kind of go hand in hand. Our recommendation really is to like eliminate any exercises that are going to like increase that abdominal pressure. And I know there's like a vast majority or, you know, wealth of knowledge out there on like all different things for diastasis, many of which are contradictory to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to keep it really simple and just say, like, crunches and anything that, like, basically is in, like, a crunch position.
Mm-hmm.
V-ups, rowboats, Russian twists, stuff mm-hmm. like that. To really try to avoid those things long-term. And so I know you mentioned, like, modifying. What are, you know, some core stuff that you do to modify? Like, are you able to kind of work with them if they come in knowing they have these issues?
Yes.
That, you
yes.
know.
If you know you have it, absolutely. There are, we have about 4 go-tos that we'll give you. And one of them is, people probably aren't going to understand what any of these are, but dad bug is one of them. I don't name these exercises.
Yeah, right, right.
Them. But dad bug is one of them, but kind of like what you go around to. Like, we, no twisting, no like lifting your chest up, I'm even like a little bit reluctant about leg lifts. Mm-hmm. But we do a lot of like bridges, like hip extensions. We do a lot of those. We do a lot of circus ponies where you're like on all fours and raising your opposite arm to opposite leg. We do a lot of dead bugs. Those are really the ones that are our go-tos that yeah. are safe and effective and gentle. But yet you're still doing something.
Yeah.
Where you don't feel like you have to completely like sit the core aspect out. Cause I think like right away moms want to like, oh, I want to get my core back. I want to get my core back. Like that's right. like their like main focus. And
right.
it's like, well, there's so much more to, and they just like want to get like a flat stomach. Well, there's so much more to yeah. getting a flat stomach than your core work, you know?
Right. And I mean, I always tell our clients, cause you know, we hear it a lot here too, but it's kind of like working your way up to it, like, so, you know, training that deep core muscle, the transverse abdominis, the TA, really will get you so much further in the long run because, I mean, A, you need it to, like, activate and kick on four higher level things like planks, mm-hmm. side planks. Otherwise, if you're not, you're only utilizing a portion of your ab muscles. The second reason is if you really want to, like, get a flatter stomach, if you will, that is going to act as, like, that corset to help cinch everything in mm-hmm. and essentially pull that in. Otherwise, you know, if you're just doing crunches, you're yeah. just working these, like, superficial muscles.
Yeah. And I think it's a lot of, like, closing the gap, the education gap of, like, how to get that flat stomach that we talked about and how to really engage your core as opposed to just pounding out crunches. Like, that's right. not going to do it. But people don't know that. And right. so it is just, like, closing that education gap and, like, educating them on what the core is really doing and how effectively to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like people kind of view it as, and maybe you run into this too, when you do modify exercises, it's like, it's hard sometimes for people to see that the exercises are doing something.
Yes.
Because it's not going to give you like the same feeling of like you just did 100 crunches.
Yes.
They feel very different.
Yes.
And so sometimes I think it's just a mindset shift that
totally
people aren't aware of.
Yeah. I think people think that if they can't do the 100 crunches, they're not getting a good workout in. Like right. that's what I always get is I have DR and am I going to be able to get a good workout in? Well, absolutely. Like yeah. just because you're doing not doing the 100 crunches, like doesn't mean you're not going to get a good workout in.
Right. Right. Yeah. I actually, there was a new study that just came out that, is pretty interesting. It talked about, it's all about diastasis. And the study showed that basically within the first 8 weeks postpartum, if that gap is going to close at all on the abs, it'll do it within that 8 week window. Anything after that, and they looked at like a year postpartum, it won't change unless you do some kind of intervention for it. It was super interesting.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that. There's a lot of moms that have come to me like 2 years postpartum, mm-hmm. and I'll ask them if they have DR, and they'll have no clue, and I'll check them, and I'll be like, you're probably to the point where you shouldn't be doing, like, you know, they're giving me 2.5 fingers, and I'm like, you're probably shouldn't be doing core right now, and they're like, I've been doing core ever since. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah. And now it's not that it's too late, but now you
right.
have to,
it's like you
go
have to take a step back.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is tough.
And get, like, more resources than just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's hard because there's so much like contradictory stuff.
Yeah.
And then people are just kind of told like, well, give it more time, you know, it'll heal, or just start like doing your ab stuff. And, yeah. you know, it's hard with that too.
Yeah.
There also is something I kind of wanted to like pick your brain on this a little yeah. bit. So they like just released some new guidelines for like postpartum return to exercise okay. within the pelvic floor realm that came out within the last 2 months. And it was actually kind of surprising because they said in there that you shouldn't be even initiating running or like plyometric stuff until like 12 weeks postpartum.
Really?
And only if you had no pelvic floor dysfunction and you like work through this whole progression of like core exercise, and then you're doing like body weight, like squats or lunges, and like working your way up.
It's going to be like 100%.
It's crazy. Yeah. And it, I mean, after going through it, it's so hard because you're so anxious to like get back into it.
Yep.
And I know myself personally, like I had to really like rein myself in and be like, no, I know it's best to like start slow, work my way up. Like every, after both babies now, I like just started with my core stuff, went into body weight, you know, and then started adding resistance, you know, and then adding in like those plyometrics. Yeah. But it is really challenging.
It is challenging. Well, people are so, it's like, moms are so excited just to get that weight off. Like, yeah, they've been feeling like blah for however long. Like, they just want to, yeah, it's absolutely challenging. But I can understand it. I understand why they're saying that, though. Like, you know, if you are peeing your pants doing jumping jacks, you should not be doing jumping jacks. But people are just dealing with it and doing the jumping jacks and don't realize that they're probably causing a little bit more issues than, you know, but we just deal with it because
that's what we're used to doing.
That's what we're doing, yeah.
Or it's like, you don't know any different, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I was actually really surprised to see that they recommended 12 weeks. I thought that was
So they're saying that instead of giving a 6-week clearance, like, they should give a 12-week clearance? Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the article and the guidelines actually suggest, and I tell our patients this too, like, you know, I'll have them start core stuff. And when I say core, I mean, like, your basic stabilization exercises to retrain core. So I should make that distinction so people don't think I'm talking about, like, planks.
Yes.
Starting with that prior to, like, 6 weeks. And then, you know, around the 6-week mark, you can kind of start a little before it. Starting some, like, gentle body weight. Yeah. Like, basic squat, lunge, like those types of things. And it basically progresses you through. And like, if you get to a point on the guideline, like say you get to, now you're adding resistance to your squats, now you start to leak or something, like, okay, well, here is your limit.
Okay.
And now we need to like scale back slightly and work back up. It is.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It makes sense, like, especially from, like, a rehab standpoint. But it's really hard, I think, to have, like, that discipline.
Totally.
To be, like...
I agree, yeah.
Feel like you're kind of, like, stuck almost, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is something that I've kind of been trying to incorporate a little bit into practice with really making sure we're, like, progressing not just, like, the rehab exercises that we're working, but trying to progress that, like, exercise or activity component too, because so many women, and I don't know if you see this, but like they get that 6-week mark and boom, they are like out on the trail running.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And
it's doing sprints and burpees and we see it all the time. And you know, like there's a fine line of like telling people what they can and cannot do. Like, I'm not a doctor, I can't tell you what you can and cannot do, but like also reminding them, like, listen to your body. Like, you can't tell me that this isn't hurting somewhere.
Right. Oh, gosh. I couldn't even imagine doing burpees at 6 weeks. I know.
Like, I was like, no way. It's got to be hurting somewhere.
I mean,
somewhere.
I hate those anyways, but. Yeah. But. It's interesting. I wish I had, like, a better answer. I feel like if you take that extra, a little bit extra time on the front end of your recovery, it does so much better for you long term.
Yep.
I
think so,
too. It's so hard. How do you, like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Educate on that, you know?
Interesting.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
What is kind of your biggest piece of advice for moms or maybe even new moms that are looking to kind of start adding that exercise into their routine?
Yeah, I think taking it slow and, like I've mentioned before, listening to your body, come to a class, or maybe if our classes aren't, like, within the right time or whatever, you know, you can find some good resources online. You can find some good things on YouTube. You can find, I mean, whatever it is, I think it's just like honoring your body. I think it's taking it slow. I mean, finding any sort of movement throughout the day, whether it's a walk or a yoga class or any sort of movement, is going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then just progressively adding more on to it as you start feeling better. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as moms, like, we need to focus more on overall well-being mm-hmm. instead of, you know, the first thing we want to do is just, like, get rid of the body weight. And we think of two elements when we think of, like, being healthy, and we think of nutrition and we think of fitness, but there's so many other things that go into that.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that if you find all those elements, you know, you find connection within your community with other like-minded moms, and you're eating healthy and you're finding more movement, you're doing all that, you're doing the things right, then the weight is gonna come off. Mm-hmm. And just to, like, work into it slowly and carve out every day, set a timer in your phone, and this is the time that I am going to find my movement today, whatever that is for mm-hmm. today. And that's kind of how I would suggest getting back into it.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I think, like, looking at some of your social media accounts too, you guys, I think, do a great job of, like, even just sharing healthy recipes or some more info on, like, nutrition, because I feel like it's easy to fall, like, A, into this trap where you're just, like, eating these, like, quick,
yes,
not so quick, great meals. Yes, like, that's totally my, that's what I struggle yeah. with all the time.
Yeah.
But also the fact of, like, you know, again, it goes back to that thought process of, oh, I need to diet to, like, lose weight. And, you know, a lot of women, I think, they don't realize that it's important to actually, like, still eat a lot of food. It just yes. needs to be, like, nutritious and the right food.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think you guys do a great job of, like, sharing that and putting that out there too.
Yeah,
to give options.
Yeah, I think, you know, as new moms, like, a lot of us, we're breastfeeding and we're constantly hungry, and as long as we're, like, nourishing our body with the right foods, like, you're not gonna gain the weight. Mm-hmm. If you're nourishing your body with, like, you know, your processed food, then yeah, like, you're not going to lose your body weight, your baby weight. You're going to gain more weight. So, like, listening to your body, like, if you're hungry, absolutely eat. Just make it a healthy choice.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, we try to provide those resources. And, you know, I understand that not everyone has the luxury to just get up and, like, go to a stroller strides class or get up and go to the gym. And so we try to provide resources. Well, these basic exercises you can do while you're sitting there watching whatever show you watch, Grey's Anatomy or whatever. Like,
yeah.
they're very basic. It's going to take you 20 minutes. So, you know, that's something. It's better doing that than nothing.
Yeah,
just so, kinda, yeah, we try to provide, like, enough resources where you could be really successful in getting back into fitness and more movement and making healthy choices by just doing nothing, by sitting in your house, yeah. you know? Like,
right, right.
So we try to make it easy for everyone.
For sure. Gosh, I wish that, like, everyone would bring me protein bites after I had a baby. That's right, like, I know. All I want.
Like, those little carbs.
Yeah, yeah, they're, like, the best.
I know.
But a lot of people don't bring you that stuff. No. They bring you,
they,
like,
they bring you, like, the big lasagna.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah.
And you're like, oh, God.
This
and
is so heavy.
Yeah. I, after having Toby, actually both times for, like, 2 weeks after, it was, like, definitely how my body reacted to the hormone change, yeah. but I would have, like, stomach aches every day. It was, like, so hard for me to eat,
yeah.
like, because I felt just, like,
blah.
Yeah, yeah, like, sick, like, yeah. sick to my stomach. Mm-hmm. And so the second time around, I kind of knew, like, how to deal with that mm-hmm. and trying to just eat a little more, like, bland, but yeah. still trying to get, like, that nutrition. But the first time, I'm like, I don't know what to eat. Like, nothing even sounds good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't wait to go eat a piece of salmon or something. Right. Like, it sounds terrible yeah, when your stomach hurts.
Isn't, like, a one-size-fits-all type
no.
of thing. Like, what works for one does not work for the other. So it's definitely just, like, trial and error and, like, playing around a little bit with things to see what works for you.
Yeah. Well, this was so much
fun. Thank you. This is
yeah,
so fun.
I had a great time. So before we leave,
yes.
My last question for you is, what is your current favorite way to practice self-care?
Oh.
Because I feel like it is so hard for women to, like, find that time and make it a priority. So if this gives someone a good idea,
well, I love to sit in front of the TV with a glass of wine and binge Netflix.
Nice. I love it. As we're enjoying our wine.
Yes, exactly.
We just don't have the Netflix.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Tracy.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. I will actually, Tracy, can you tell everyone where they can find more information about you and Fit for Mom?
Sure. Yeah. Well, our website, brookfield.fitformom.com, has all of our like class schedules and a little bit more information about all of our class offerings.
You guys just opened your third location.
We opened our third location in Shorewood. Yep. We're in the North Shore area. Really excited about that. Otherwise, we are social media. You can find us on Facebook, Fit for Mom, Brookfield, Tosa, Shorewood.
Okay.
And then, gosh, our Instagram handle just recently changed, and it's like F4M, Brookfield, Tosa, Shorewood.
Okay. So. I will link to all of that in the show notes. So if you're listening and you want that information, I'll have in the show notes. You can just click it, make it a little bit easier so you guys can go follow them.
Cool. Yes. Come check us out.
Yes. And I will also put in the show notes, too, if you go back to podcast, I believe episode 1 and 3 has a little more information about some like pelvic floor safe exercises. So for those that, want a little bit more of like the basic knowledge and basic exercises before you would go into like an exercise class, I'll link on that as well. So
awesome.
As kind of a resource. Cool. So, well, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you so much for tuning in today for my chat with Tracy. Stay tuned for your pelvic floor tip of the day. If you want to find any of the resources we mentioned in today's episode, head on over to our show notes at revitalize-pt.com/EP05. Again, that is revitalize-pt.com/EP05. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you get all of the new episodes. I would love it if you could leave me a review and tell me what you think of the podcast so far. Okay, today's pelvic floor tip of the day is for my postpartum mamas. Start basic and go slow when returning to exercise. Remember, incontinence and pain are common, but not normal. See you on the next episode.